The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Thanks again to Rob Domofsky. It's always great to get to catch up with him. We've got Wojashi coming up soon, which I'm excited about. But I did want to get to this before that, and I asked Matt LaFleur about this yesterday. But, Tausch, when you look at the Robert Saleh experiment, Matt LaFleur, to my surprise, when I asked him, because he was saying how Saleh has had an impact on the offense. There are certain things that he goes through that he'll see things that he suggests, and sometimes they utilize it. And I asked Matt, can you give us an example of that? And you know me, I've been known to get the, oh, what do you want us to give you the whole game plan, Jason?
Total lulls, right? A total lulls situation.
Yeah, and Halfley did that to me twice, too. No, obviously I don't. You know what I do want you to give me? I want you to give me something interesting that fans will enjoy and find interesting. Okay? Because it's still about those folks, right? The ones that buy your jerseys in the pro shop and pay for the tickets and everything else. And so I was borderline giddy when I asked this question. And instead of getting, oh, do you want the whole game plan, Jason? I actually got an example of a play where Robert Saleh's influence had an impact on the game on Sunday in Chicago. Here's Matt LaFleur.
Well, there was a play that we ran last week where we had it in our system. The one we hit Christian Watson on the left sideline where he went and stalked, like he was stalking the linebacker and then slipped down the sideline. That was one play that he wanted the general idea of that. And so we implemented it pretty successful.
So if you watch the game on television, like I did, because I didn't go to Chicago because I don't leave my basement. There, Fox had a great camera angle on this. It was from behind the play.
Definitely not on the field goal. That I can tell you, that's not a great camera angle.
Yeah, I had no idea it was blocked either until basically Kevin Burkhart told me it had been blocked. I had no idea where the ball was. I was not the only one watching that one that way. And I watched like four or five times back trying to figure out where the ball actually landed. At one point, I thought it hit the crossbar and then bounced back. No, this one, Christian Watson lines up at the left side of the formation, kind of just outside the slot. And he goes as if he's going to block Jack Sanborn, former Badger, current Chicago Bear. And he takes steps toward him like he's heading to block him. And Sanborn kind of backs off because he's going to avoid the block that he thinks is coming. And then Christian Watson jets to the left, and he's wide open along the left sideline. It's not the biggest play that he had, obviously, on a 150-yard four-catch day. But it's exactly the way LaFleur just described it. He stalks Sanborn and then cuts outside, and Love delivers the ball. What do you make of Robert Saleh's presence? Because obviously it comes up this week more so because he was the 49ers defensive coordinator under Shanahan. He was the defensive coordinator in some of these games that the Packers lost to the 49ers under Matt LaFleur. How do you view, now that we're a month into it or so, the Robert Saleh experiment?
If it's working, and it seems like it is, he doesn't need to be overly involved in what's going on, but he is a head coach, and obviously he knows Kyle Shanahan. He knows how Kyle Shanahan thinks. I think he obviously has a good vibe for how Freddie Varner and that defense likes to approach going against Matt LaFleur's offense. So it's a total home run. If he only did two things, you would look at it from, well, yeah, awesome. Great. I'm glad he's here.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's also probably a great sounding board for Matt, someone that Matt trusts completely. I thought at the time it just absolutely was a no-brainer. just wondering, thought maybe Bob should have taken a couple beats, maybe grabbed a couple meals, and then came back. But he decided to jump right in
kids.
Because he loves ball. Because he's a coach. And that's what they do. And I think he didn't want to get out of the game, and he wants to be involved. And the fact that his best buddy is the head coach of a team, he's trying to help him chase a chip. I'm all in. I think it's great. And I think anything that Robert Saleh has been able to add is just ice cream on top of ice cream on top of ice cream cake.
Is it odd or just makes sense to you that he's not there at all on game day?
Why would that be odd?
Well, I don't know. Like, if he's there in a consulting role and he has value, you know, I remember Mike Sherman was having trouble with clock and timeout management. And he brought in 79-year-old Vince Tobin to be like his guy to help him guide him through that. Now, I'm not saying LaFleur has those issues. But you think it's just one too many cooks in the kitchen on game day if you bring in Saleh? Or,
well, I think I just thought part of it is, yeah, Matt was obviously very sensitive to the Jeff Hafley part of this. And your job as a consultant, you're not going to be down there telling LaFleur, hey, you should be doing this. You give him all the info and then let these guys go do their jobs. He's not a coach. So, and plus, he probably does want to see his family. Go to a soccer game on a weekend. Go grab a bite. Go do whatever you're going to do. So, no, I don't think that's odd at all. I think it's probably the healthy way. Analyze the tape. Watch practice. Give your insights and get out of Dodge. Totally all right with that.
Yeah.
By the way, if I was ever to consult that, I am a clock management guru. I think Matt LaFleur does a really good job. Like, he played Madden as a kid. He is always aggressive, and he forces the other team to do things based on clock management when it comes to timeouts at the end of the first half. I think his first half, you can argue the end of the game and all that stuff. I'm talking about he is always, no matter what it is, and Detroit game, it ended up biting him in the tuchus. But he gets the ball back. He forces teams to do things. He's always got the gas down. I think his approach on that stuff is really good.
That's great. But did you just call yourself a time management guru? Is that what you said?
When it comes to timeouts. Not for the show. I'm not in control of the clock here, Jason. I jump into reads to try
and help
you.
Neither am I.
I try and help you, but as far as taking timeouts and when you shouldn't, it is something that I feel like I would be a really good asset to helping. I am very knowledgeable about that.
If you do say so yourself.
I always love watching I think LaFleur is really good at it, especially in the first half. I think a lot of times his going for it on fourth and six, I don't care what Johnny Analytics has to say, is a dumb move. It was.
Yeah.
And I tell him, because I'm not a show.
At least not for that program. He is, like you, though, and 565 Analytics. He's a go-with-your-gut guy. He doesn't really care about the analytics. Like, he asked after the fact of going for it on fourth and six, or fourth and goal from the six, what the analytics said. He asked on Monday, and he was told 2-3% more likely to win if you go for it. Now, whether or not that's accurate, I don't know. I'm not an analytics guy.
Yeah.
I believe him. I believe him. I think he's a go-with-your-gut guy.
Nobody got in his ear and said, hey, it's 72% if you do this. Nobody told him anything, really?
And then he cursed.
Now, what the hell are the analytics people there for? What are the analytics people there for?
I think they're there.
And that's the first he heard of it was on Monday? All right, boys, I got a bridge to sell you if that's what you buy.
Are you calling Matt LaFleur a liar? You're not a shill for sure, man. You're calling him a liar.
The fact that nobody told him as the thing was unfolding, what are they there for then? Analytics folks would be like, well, the numbers would say you should go for it. That's what they're there for.
But
not
if
to
he
tell
does,
him 3 days after.
So
come
here's
on,
the question. The fact that you've worn a sport coat through this entire show has been incredibly distracting to me. I don't understand.
Well, it's the first snow.
I've been asked so many times.
But don't you understand? It's the first snow. I don't understand what you don't understand.
There's no way that's why. Are you going out and shoveling during commercial breaks and I just haven't noticed? I think there's a chance that his attitude about analytics, because he is the head coach, right? And head coaches get to do what they want, right?
That's
whether
true.
Or not it's the right decision.
Well, up to a certain point.
Okay, but I would bet, and again, maybe I'll ask him if I cross paths with him in the locker room and it's not at the podium. Is the analytics, they only give you information if you ask for it? Is it possible that that's his policy? Because we saw him swearing at the defensive guys on the headsets when they needed to use a timeout on that two-point conversion play. I could see him saying, if I want analytics, I'll blank and ask for it. Shut up over
By the
there.
Way,
I don't need any of that.
The
in
analytics.
My, in my ear.
I had some people texting when he called that timeout saying how dumb it was. I said, if it saves you 2 points, it's worth it. What'd they end up winning by again on Sunday?
They won by 1 point. 1 point.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. And if they don't line up and call that timeout, what happens?
The Bears probably get the 2-point conversion.
Interesting.
Now we're tapping our pencil on our microphone. All right, we're going to play a round of Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank. Want to remind you, I jokingly, as we were taking a different number for our trivia earlier today, of course, that was the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios number. Well, again, Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All, 414-276-6666. But I wanted to highlight this. Just in case tomorrow, because we've got kind of a wonky show again tomorrow with everybody's schedule.
No, it sounds like it's not that wonky from what I've been told. It's normal. That's what our non-Friday producer told me. What do you mean? It's normal. Really? Oh, okay. I digress.
If just in case we don't get to Feel Good Friday painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, because tomorrow's Friday. But we're not doing a full show. I'll explain tomorrow. But just in the interest of covering our bases, A, because Holman Lindsay has been such a great partner from the very beginning, and you invented Feel Good Friday, and also because David Gruber and Gruber Law Offices is such a great partner of ours, I did see this. Somebody sent me this story. The Bucks do this annual Shop with a Buck event, and a handful of players go shopping at Kohl's with David Gruber, who helps foot the bill every year for Christmas. And I saw this story. David was there. It was at the Bayshore Kohl's location in northern Milwaukee. And the looks on the faces of these kids in the videos and in the photos, like, I know Aaron Rodgers did this many, many years ago with some kids up here in Green Bay, and no one knew about it until, like, years later. I love this idea because you're not going out and getting kids gifts for Christmas, which is important too. Don't get me wrong. Toys for Tots, toy drives, amen. I support multiple of those. I love that when they have the Marines at Lambeau Field collecting Toys for Tots for kids. That's a great cause too. But this helps kids go shopping for the other people in their lives that they care about for the holidays. And so I just wanted to give our friend David Gruber, who I tell you all the time is heavily involved in our communities, obviously a great partner of the Bucks. I just thought this was a really cool story, and I'm glad that a friend of mine shared it with me because I had missed it. It is Shop with a Buck, and it's Kohl's and the Bucks and Gruber Law Offices, and they do it every year. It's a great cause, and I love the fact that they're doing it, so I wanted to share that. And again, one call, that's all when it comes to Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666. We will get to Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
find odd about today's show, and there's a lot that's odd about today's show, right? You wearing a sport coat. Us being on some of the vessels of the program, but not others. With the WIAA State High School football going on. What I find odd is that we have a producer today that we really like. Like, we're all big Cat fans.
Love
How much
big
has
Cat.
He talked?
Fun guy.
Through 2 hours and 26 minutes of the program.
Minimally. Matter of fact, I can't tell if he's like telling us we got to get off to the next segment or not. I can't even tell when he's talking. Like, if he's on air or if he's just in our ear. That's where he's at. It's a weird deal.
Because
we got our producer sending photos from Camp Randall covering the games during our show. I can't really get my head wrapped around what Jesse is doing. Like, I can't, and I don't. Maybe I don't want to.
I'm here to facilitate your program. When you need me, I'm here. Otherwise, I fall to the back. I'll play the audio.
Well, how does it work with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy? Because you're their producer.
I talk a lot more, but this
is... Why? There's three people on that show. We only got two.
That's my
it's
home.
True.
I don't want to invade and come in and pee on your guys' carpet. You guys got a plan? I'm following
Poop
it
in
with
your
you.
Hand, if you will.
Yeah. We don't want that.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, here's your chance to have your voice be heard in back-to-back segments.
Well, Joshy, you like being on air, though. Some producers don't like being on air.
Yeah.
You like being on air.
Yeah, of course. It's your guys' program. When you need to talk to me, I'll talk.
All right.
All right. Well,
refreshing. What a refreshing change of pace that is.
Not really sure what to do with that, quite frankly.
I thought that was the understanding we all had here. All right, let's start off with Take It to the Bank. I did change the music a little bit. I know we used to have the OJ song, and then Jesse changed it, but I went a little Pink Floyd.
This is so much better.
Yeah, this is classic. All right, Take It to the Bank, brought to you by our friends at Associated Bank. Aaron Rodgers is 100% donezo with the New York Jets after this season.
Yeah. Take it to the bank. And I saw reports that it could be the Minnesota Vikings where he goes. This is going to be really fascinating to me. They're going to have a new coach, new GM. The owner wanted to bench Rodgers 5 weeks ago. So Rodgers probably saying, blank off Woody. Would the Vikings entertain bringing him in to finish this fun career arc of Rodgers and Favre? God, I hope so. I think that'd be a lot of fun. McCarthy's coming back from a big knee injury. Sam Darnold has played well enough that I still don't know who's going to give him a bonko deal. But would Rodgers play for 10? Would Rodgers play for 10 to 15 mil? With JJ as his wideout and Addison.
He did love himself some JJ.
It'd be an entertaining deal now for us. I'm in. But this time with the Jets is deuces. I think the way this all shook itself out, now that that report came out, I got a hunch old boy ain't real happy about it. And I think he's probably in. The Jets aren't happy with how this has all worked out either. It's been a disaster. Who would have thought that would have been coming, right? Pretty much everybody that
you
watches
did.
Football.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No, I thought it was going to work out great. I thought they were going to be a playoff team, not a Super Bowl team, but they were going to be a good team. And
needed to be 4-0 or 5-0 to start. They needed to earn buy-in. And once they didn't, you have mercenaries, and they're saying.
Is that what mercenaries sound like? I didn't know that.
I have a question off of this.
Go ahead. Sorry, this is your segment, Joshy. I'd hate to speak over you.
So, toss throughout the Vikings there. I think the Vikings are too smart to enter into the Aaron Rodgers affairs. I think they're building around Kevin O'Connell and his program. Also, Kevin O'Connell runs an offense that Aaron Rodgers isn't too
a lot
fond
of motion.
Of. Yes. So they would have to change things. I don't think they're going to engage in that. But there's a guy in Dallas who might be out of a job. Old buddy, Mike McCarthy, and Aaron Rodgers rekindling a relationship at one of the vacancies,
podcast?
Perhaps.
Doing
and
a podcast?
Like maybe the Saints. Maybe the Saints are looking for a new head coach. They bring in Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers goes to QB for the old HC.
No.
I love Big Mike. I love Big Mike.
Yeah.
That's what he always says.
That's what he says.
Except when you were playing for him.
Who's more likely to be in the NFL next year, Big Mike or Aaron Rodgers?
Oof. Wow. I predict Mike McCarthy, having made some pretty good money from Jerry Jones and still having his house here, is the Will D'Antouche equivalent in 2025 of Barry Alvarez on the Great Dane Huddle. And we have Mike McCarthy Mondays or Big Mike Big Wednesdays. And he's on our show every week. I go over to his house and we record from there. We go into the gym and set up the video camera. You on board?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic idea. All in. Yeah, the answer is Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's a, if I did the Maguanago, Muskego, or nothing, or both, I would say neither.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would Rodgers ever do something like Russ Wilson just did, where you have to humble yourself? Who's paying Rodgers $25 million next year to play quarterback?
No one.
Well, so that's my question. Is he going to be so motivated to not go out on this absolutely craptastic last season?
I don't think so.
Go play for less, a lot, like not very much money, just for pride? Like
so
now that Bitcoin has rebounded.
No. Yeah. Is he a Bitcoin guy?
He was, yeah.
He sent me Bitcoin.
He took money for he got paid in Bitcoin for something, if I recall correctly.
I saw Russell Okung did that too. This isn't a money thing, but there's obviously
pride.
Money is associated with respect. And the question I have is, would Rodgers go and do what Russell Wilson did? The answer is no. Would Aaron Rodgers go do some McAfee? And then potentially somebody that's a championship contender, a quarterback goes down in October, and they ask the old boy to come on in and help out the squad. That I could see happening. But to go through an offseason, he doesn't want to do the offseason now. So, no, I think he'll just
Egypt.
Keep rolling.
All right, let's move on here. The Detroit Lions are 100% going to be the number one seed in the NFC playoff picture.
Wait,
no, 100% is too strong.
So long.
75%, I would say. They still have the G&G. They got San Francisco. They have another tough game on their schedule. I don't remember who it is, but they could lose. I think they'll end up 14-3 or 13-4. Can Green Bay or Minnesota keep pace and do that? I doubt. But the Philadelphia Eagles might, because now that the Cowboys absolutely stink, that's a dub. The Giants absolutely stink. I don't know how many times they have at least once to play them yet, maybe.
No. The Detroit Lions remaining schedule at 9-1, winners of 8 in a row. Indianapolis
dub.
On the road this week. Home against the Bears.
Dub.
Home against the Packers.
Oh, I can't wait. You think so?
It would be more interesting if the Packers go there and win. I'll leave it at that.
That's what happened last year.
At home against the Buffalo Bills. At home against the Buffalo Bills was the game you were trying to
think. That's going to be a sexy game. That's going to be a very sexy game.
They will be having 10 days between the Packers game and the Bills game, as opposed to the 49ers who play at Green Bay Sunday and then at Buffalo the following Sunday. Then after the Bills, they've got the Bears on the road, the 49ers on the road that you mentioned, and at home against Minnesota in the finale for them. So
yeah, I think it's,
I'm going to take it to the bank. They're getting the number one seed.
What's Philly's schedule?
Philadelphia Freedom. They are, remember, I know that we didn't think they were very good, even though they beat the Packers in the opener in Brazil, and their coach is kind of a knucklehead at times. The Philadelphia Eagles are 8-2 and winners of 6 in a row. Their remaining schedule: at the Rams this week,
Dub.
At Baltimore,
L,
home against the Carolina Panthers,
Dub,
home against the Pittsburgh Steelers,
L,
at the Washington Commanders.
Ooh. Okay. Not
good game.
Rematch. They just beat the Commanders, but they were at home. And then their last two games are home to the Dallas Cowboys and home to the Giants.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, if Green Bay can go up and beat Detroit, Philly's got some losses on their schedule too, boys. They do.
They do.
That schedule maker's a good. That schedule maker knows what they're doing now. There are some sexy matchups coming down the stretch here.
That's the whole idea.
Hey, what
happens?
I just want to know Green Bay, because I am planning on going up to the Packers Saints game. There's a really good chance that gets flexed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of Monday night.
Yes, I would think so. With the Saints being terrible.
Boy. I'm going to be honest with you. If that happens, you're going to hear me go on a tirade of tirades. Okay?
I got to be.
I'm just letting you know in advance.
Now I hope it gets flexed.
Yep. Rooting for
it. How much the NFL doesn't give two rips about its fans. You're going to have people flying in and getting hotels, and you're going to move the day of a game. If that happens, Jason, Katie barred the door. Old T ain't going to be pleased.
Can I do one more quick one, take it to the bank, a little improv think on our feet here?
You're just cutting into your own Wojashi, so go ahead.
That's okay. This is interesting enough. I'm looking here at Steve the Homer True, who is in the ESPN Milwaukee Gruber Law offices. I believe he's recording with Brian Bulaga.
I thought he's going to the Bahamas.
That's funny you mentioned the Bahamas.
They're recording the show tonight.
Yes.
Hey, there he is right there.
So he's talking about going to the Bahamas. Take it to the bank. Steve the Homer True will be poolside with an umbrella-style drink at some point during his trip to the Bahamas.
He doesn't strike me as an umbrella guy. I hope he puts on sunscreen, though.
Especially on that hat.
Make sure he SPF 50 or even SPF 100. Yeah. It's not as nice as going to the Greenbrier, from what I've heard. And if you want to be able to go to the Greenbrier, which Tausch is not able to, you got to be smart with your money. And while we're not going to tell you about Fortrea today, I am going to tell you, you got to be smart about your money by putting it at Associated Bank, which presents our Take It to the Bank segment with Joshy. Associated Bank, best customer service in the industry. I just remembered I have to call Ben Sorensen today, my guy. I got some different accounts that I want to start for the girls that are different from the ones we had for them before. So I got to talk to him. And guess what? He'll take care of it, because that's what Associated Bank does. Best customer service in the industry. You don't have to have Packers checking. I don't. I'm not a Packers fan. But if you are, you get 10% off the Packers Pro Shop, that Packers debit MasterCard, all the nifty bells and whistles that come with being a Packers fan and an Associated Bank fan. So go to associatedbank.com/Packers to find out more. Wojashi is next. It's Wildy and Stoush.
Wildy and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
If you've been listening to the show saying, gosh, I need more Josh DiMaggio, you're in luck. It's time now for Wojashi.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
All right, guys, in previous...
Hey! Look, a video screen and everything. Look at you.
In previous editions of this Whoa Joshy portion of the show, I've come to you guys with sort of life questions and big moment type of stuff. So after looking at my text messages here in the break, I'm already getting some text messages about things I need to do for Thanksgiving. And the reason I need to do them for Thanksgiving is because we will be hosting the very first family Thanksgiving at our place.
That's big.
Yes. Now add on to the fact that also that following, I think 2 days later, we will also be doing Friendsgiving at our place, something I didn't quite sign up for, but am going to be doing. And then Christmas to follow.
Question.
Yes, you got it.
Question. Friendsgiving, do they have to be both of your friends, or is it her friends or your friends, or how is that working?
So this scenario actually works out well because the friends who are coming for Friendsgiving are all friends that were introduced by me to my girlfriend. Now they've become closer friends.
So it's your friends.
Yes, it was originally my friends, but she hangs out with them now more than I even ever did back before they knew each other.
What's the ratio?
Of what?
Gender.
I think there might be 3 total men, including myself, and then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 women, maybe.
Oh, wow. And they were all your friends, and you introduced them to your girlfriend.
Yes. Well, the group has grown, but there was like a core 4 or 5 that were my friends, and now it's, you know, add-ons. People.
Tier ones.
Yes.
Some tier ones.
Tier ones to tier twos, wow. Things of that nature. What do I need to do to prepare for Thanksgiving, and what should I be prepared for? How do I be, because I'm going to be honest, not doing any cooking, probably going to have in some Tito's, some Coors Light, things of that nature. What do I
Love
need
it.
To do to be a good co-host? Because I'm not actually responsible for much. I'm sure that doesn't come as a shock.
It's because you're responsible
you
for so many things
like,
around here.
Are you going to do this like a big boy Thanksgiving where you have the big turkey and the stuffing and the mac and cheese and
you
the,
got it
put and the redheaded dumples and all that? That's what you're doing?
The redheaded dumples will be included, whatever those are.
Oh, I love redheaded
what
dumples.
The hell is a redheaded dumple?
Don't act like we've said this a million times. It's one of my mom's specialties. Yes, we have every year.
Spogen?
This time. No, we don't want any spogen. Redheaded dumplings that we call dumples that I think my grandma made. My mom
dumples.
Took that recipe, and that's kind of our one of the
does,
things.
Does
that
old
we
girl make
like.
Them now for you?
No, she does not.
Wow.
Potatoes for sale. Potatoes for sale.
And my mom made the best stuffing. Like I don't know what she always did. But it's something I miss a lot. We don't do it anymore. We haven't had it in forever. It was one of her staples. The redheaded
dumplings. Happy birthday,
and,
Diane. 78 years old.
And the dressing. We didn't need anything else. And then you give me a can of cranberries. That's all I needed. I didn't
just
need turkey.
Right out of the
didn't
can.
Need the green bean casserole. Didn't need mac and cheese. You give me those 3 things, I'm happier than a clam. So I don't know
Josh,
if that helps you,
Josh. I got nothing
Joshy.
For you.
He got nothing.
I'm spending
charcuterie.
Charcuterie. Just think of doing you create your own Thanksgiving charcuterie.
See,
board.
That's a tip. You might not have meant it as that, but I think I got to find my one thing that I'm providing so I'm not just merely there enjoying Tito's and Coors Lights.
Signature drink.
Yeah,
and
I
then
like
have
that.
I think you do something charcuterie. You're a charcuterie kind of guy.
I love a good charcuterie, old tea.
Yep, I know you do.
All right, that's all I got.
I've heard that about you. All right, well, since you don't have anything else and obviously put no preparation
I do
or
have
effort
more,
into
but it's just 50.
Today, Gino Auriemma.
Mr.
I don't
Timely.
Know if you saw this, and this will tailgate into my Feel Good Friday as well, but I don't think
Wait,
we're actually
we doing,
doing
that
Feel
today?
Friday. Are we?
Oh, boy.
All right, listen. We have.
Let's do Feel Good Friday.
Hey, clock management expert
we on
have,
Thursday.
Here's the deal. Tomorrow we're doing a show from 9 until 10:30. Okay? Because we've got both.
I think we're going to lean on the lighter side of that.
You're going to leave even earlier than that. Okay, good to
commitment.
Know. Yeah. Be that as it may, if you'd like to do Feel Good Friday on a Thursday, we will do that next to wrap up today's program. And get me that redheaded Dompels recipe when you have a chance from Diane. So I can make it for Alex Strofe, who I'll be spending Thanksgiving with at the Tundra Trio before I go to the game. Because the Packers have a Thanksgiving game. And we'll be doing our Green Bay game day together heading into that matchup. Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints on a Thursday. From Tausch is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Because we communicate so effectively on this show, I already did my Feel Good Friday about 45 minutes ago with David Gruber and the Bucks taking kids shopping at Kohl's. That was my Feel Good Friday. But we wrap up today, but not the week, because we're on tomorrow with Feel Good Friday painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. Tausch, what you got?
So I saw last night, and I am a big advocate. I think the women's college game has grown. Obviously, Caitlin Clark, been a big fan. I was a fan of Pat Summitt and the battles with Gino, and then I got to drink a bunch of beers with Gino Auriemma down in Florida, and we busted each other's chops. I'm a big fan. And I saw this last night. He's got like 1,217, Joshy, I think, wins, which is the most of all time. And what I thought was cool is the impact that he made. He had all of these people come back. And I mean everybody from Sue Bird to Taurasi to Lobo. And Rebecca Lobo wrote a great article about Gino Auriemma and the impact that Gino had on all of these great women athletes. And then to win all those championships, it's just, it was another great reminder of the impact coaches have and sports has on the youth and on people's lives. And what Gino has done has been unbelievable. So I want to tip the cap and say kudos to you, Gino Auriemma. I hope he gets one more championship to get it to 12 and to pass. I think that's, I don't know how many John Wooden had, but he is the John Wooden of women's basketball.
Tomorrow, you'll have to refresh our memories. I don't know the story about you busting each other's chops with Gino Auriemma. And I feel if you told that story to me, I would have remembered it. So that's something to look forward to tomorrow on Wilde and Tausch. That does it for us today. Thanks to Rob Domofsky. Thanks to Joshy for stepping in. We'll do it again tomorrow for at least about an hour and 15 minutes. So be sure to show up. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.